Would you please be seated? Before I speak, let's have a brief word of prayer. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we pray now that in your love and your mercy towards us, that you will allow each of us to engage with you this morning, that we might hear what you want to say to us individually, that we may take it deep into our hearts and let it change us, change the way we live, change who we are, that we might be more like Jesus. Amen. Well, I nearly said, I nearly said, here I am once again, the start of that song. It just came into my mind. Well, hello everyone, and it's family service again. Now, were any of you here at the last family service? You might be sorry you've admitted it, because I'm going to question you now. What was happening at the last family service? Pardon? Was it? Oh. The wrong answer. Judith. Louise. Oh. Correct. Water into wine. That was what the last family service was about. And since then, for Jesus, quite a lot's been going on. You might remember the map, but this is a different map, but it's of the same place. And Jesus was in Cana here, and he went sort of northeast. He went to Capernaum, about 20 miles. And from there, he went south, down as far as Jerusalem, for the Passover. We've heard about those things in the last few weeks, haven't we? And then he went north again, back through Galilee. And all the way, all the while that he went, he was teaching and healing and having a huge impact on people. And he ends up back where he started, in Cana. Now, I don't suppose that's what it looked like then, but that's a picture of Cana today. There's all satellite dishes and all sorts. So there we are. That's Cana today. And no doubt, or perhaps, there was a bit of excitement when people heard he was coming back again, because they knew, some of them at least, that he'd done this amazing miracle, his first miracle, turning water into wine. But I won't try and go backwards. A sense of excitement. And so can't you imagine people thinking to themselves or saying to themselves, what will Jesus do? What will he do now he's come back to Cana? Now, John's gospel, or in his gospel, he chose seven of the many miracles of Jesus that he did. Seven signs, John calls them, to tell us about Jesus. And he had a definite reason for each one of them. And that reason, the whole purpose of John's gospel, the reason for it, is so that people will believe. And believe the truth, of course. Believe who Jesus is. Know that for themselves and follow him. And it's Jesus, therefore, because of what he can do when people believe in him, that gives us hope. Oh. There we are. Have I got it wrong? No, I haven't. Yeah. He wants people to believe in him, and he wants us to say, I believe in Jesus. Now, when I picked this up, it was flashing on the screen, but it wasn't flashing when I did it on my computer, so there we are. If you remember nothing else, you'll probably remember that, won't you? I believe in Jesus. That's what he wants us to do. And because of that, Jesus gives us hope for the future as he promises to save us. Jesus gives us hope for the future. And there he is, a picture of rescuing somebody who's drowning for whatever reason, can't cope. He throws the lifeline for us to get hold of and be saved. So let's think for a few minutes about what happened in this story and what it tells us. Well, we hear that an official, a nobleman, or a royal official came to Jesus, and he came from where Jesus started, in Capernaum, and he came to find Jesus. He travelled, what does it show? Oh yes, well, they're sort of royal officials, aren't they? Perhaps a bit higher level, are four generations. Now, Graham was standing in as the royal official, but I didn't think he looked too worried, did he? He just sort of ambled along and said hello. I think it's a bit like what happened. One of these very top royal officials going and having to beg for help. We don't really see that, do we? We don't see people of power and authority often having to beg for help. Just imagine, I don't know, Prince William going begging for help. But that's what it was like. It was more like this. Oh, no, yeah. Oh, he was desperate. That's a painting by Gustave Courbet, and it's called The Desperate Man. And does it say he was desperate? But I'm sure he was desperate when he came to seek out Jesus. And he had to beg, didn't he? He came to beg Jesus to help his dying son. And this is a slightly different picture to what you might expect. But there's a child begging for help. And in a way, we have to come to Jesus childlike and beg for his help, because we all need his help. It's a different sort of a picture, but it gives us that thought, doesn't it, of coming to Jesus and begging. And what a surprise it must have been for him when he said, "Come with me, my son's dying." What a surprise when Jesus said, "Go home, your son will be okay." He didn't get what he'd expected. He expected perhaps Jesus to drop everything and go with him because he was an important man. But Jesus just said, "Go home. Your son's going to get better." I'm not quite sure what's coming next. Oh, yes. Willy Wonka, he said one time, "It's okay, you should go home now." Just remember that we can go home. We can do what Jesus said. And perhaps even more surprising to the man, or more surprising to us, is that when Jesus said go home to the man took him at his word, didn't he? He took him at his word and believed. He believed it would be okay. Now this is again a bit of an off-the-wall picture. I don't know if anyone can tell me who that is. Oh, I don't think he'll know. That is a chap called Desmond Doss. He was he's an actor, but he was a real man. He was an American private in Japan in the Second World War, and he did amazing things at a place called Hacksaw Ridge. You might have heard of the film. What he did, he was, through his religious beliefs, he was a conscientious objector, refused to even handle a weapon, even to touch one. And so it was a great disappointment when he was posted to the riflemen in the infantry. He had a lot of abuse and problems because he would not even touch a gun. They tried to hound him out of the army, but he wouldn't go. And eventually, if you don't know the story, he became a medic. And he was on this ridge about 200 feet where the Americans were being shelled by the Japanese, and they retreated and only a third got back. But during the night, this Desmond Doss, a medic, rescued single-handedly under shell fire between 50 and 75 people. He crawled through the shelling and pulled the men back and down this ridge. Now, each time that he went to get somebody else, he said, "Just one more, Lord." Eventually, he was shelled, and he even refused to come down until somebody else was taken before him. And the only ever time in his life, he's died now, that he touched a rifle was when he used a rifle butt as a splint to tie up his own shattered leg. There was a man who believed that God was with him, wasn't it? Desmond Doss. If you haven't seen the film, I'd recommend it. It's very good. But perhaps it'll help you to remember to believe that God is with you. Let's just think about these two miracles, a bit of a comparison for a minute or two. The wedding at Cana and the healing of the official's son, the royal man's son. The first, have I gone past? They must be in the wrong order. Oh, there we are. The first was a time of joy. I must get to grips with this. I thought I'd done it. The first was a time of joy at a wedding. The second, a time of sorrow. The first, to bring pleasure at a wedding. The second, to relieve suffering. And that reminds us, doesn't it? It tells us Jesus is concerned about the whole of our lives, the good times and the bad. And that's very fortunate for us, isn't it? That he's not just interested in the good times. The first miracle tells us about his power over nature. His power, the second, his power over disease. Does anybody know what that is? Oh, you're all very well up on this coronavirus. I thought, yes. The first tells us his power over time, doesn't it? Turning water into wine. That happens all the time. Jesus just speeded it up. And the second tells us his power over space. He healed the official's son at a distance. There's time and space bending to conform or not conform. Dave Bell will tell you more about that. I won't go into that now. Jesus is all powerful, these things tell us. Space and time do not confine him at all. The first miracle his disciples saw and believed. Now, how's that snuck in? Oh, no. This is a bit of, can I believe or can't I believe? I can't believe it's not butter. Does that mean I've got to taste it or I've got to see it? I don't know, but you'll remember that, won't you, when you get your can't believe it's not butter. That means it. I can't believe it's not butter. It isn't butter, but it is, I don't know. There we are. I can't believe it's not butter. His disciples in the first miracle saw and believed. This royal official, he didn't see, did he, what had happened? And yet, he believed and he went. I don't know where that 1 o'clock's gone, because that was part of it anyway. So we can see that each of the miracles showed different things about Jesus, but they all had the same purpose, to know who Jesus is and to believe. What's going on here? Oh, I know what I'm doing. Have I got it turned upside down? I think I've turned the remote upside down and it's going the other way. No, it's not. Ah, there we are. Oh, dear. This isn't planned, by the way. Yes. We can see that each of Jesus' miracles told us something about him and showed, hello. With the same purpose, that to know who Jesus is and to believe. Oh, it's done two again. What's it doing? There we are. And to believe. There's somebody looking through their glasses. I was going to read you a verse here from John chapter 20. Jesus told them, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed." Now, I just want to tell you a little story, really, an example of what it's like to be with Jesus like those people. You've seen the picture, so I better bring it up again. You might wonder what that's got to do with it, but I thought I'd try and have some things to make you remember and trigger your mind today. So I'd like to suggest that being with Jesus is a bit like sunbathing. I mean, it can be a pleasant experience. That's not what I was meaning, though. When you're sunbathing, you don't do a lot, do you? You just lie there. The sun shines on you, and gradually you change colour. Other people notice that, but you're not aware of it to begin with at all. But other people notice the change that's happening. And being in God's presence is a bit like that too. You don't have to do very much at all, except believe. And gradually, God will change you. Other people will notice the difference, probably before you realize there's any change yourself. Perhaps that's a little bit like what happened to this royal official and the people around at that time. When they came into Jesus' presence, even for that short period, perhaps, you know, he shone down on them like the sun on these sunbathers and started to change them, which resulted in him and his whole family believing. So remember what Jesus wants us to do, and that is believe. Amen. Thank you.